you, brother.
Acts chapter 8, if you'd turn with me, please. Thank you for being in the assembly tonight. When God called me to preach, I could have written 500 reasons why I should not go. And other folks could write more than that tonight why I should not have. My heart is grieved. I've spent the afternoon thinking about the situation we're in spiritually. It's not pretty. There's a drought in our land for God like there's never been. I'm ashamed. I love America. I was taught to love America. I spent time in the armed forces and was proud of my uniform. I never really had what you'd call decent clothes until I got in a uniform. I never really had good shoes until I got in the uniform. And I've never really lived until I got born again. There's never been a time like now to live a holy life and to preach the gospel. It is a dark day. I'd love to tell you everything's going well, but it's not. But we're still breathing. The command to go, as the doctor said, is still on us. That has never been taken away. And it does not just mean to go over yonder, but to go here. And we cannot adequately even go here without the power of Jesus Christ on our life and on our ministry. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Verse 27. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Esaias the prophet. And the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Esaias and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I except some man should guide me. And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. And the humiliation of his judgment it was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began in the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. There's never been an opportunity in America like there is now to preach the gospel. And I realized pretty much so the difficulties we run into if we do really preach. There is a lot of speaking going on that has no preaching in it. And that disturbs me greatly, and I'm sure it disturbs God. I've said a lot of times I would like to have heard John the Baptist. I don't think he was too much on preaching etiquette, but I think he just let her rip. And that's my style. I want to do everything I can while I can in this day of drought to tell somebody that Jesus still saves. This is a situation right here that I read in your hearing. It's always intrigued me, amazed me, how God's working on both ends of the spectrum. How He's getting sinners where they can hear the gospel. And many are in the churches who grew up in church, heard preaching, and are almost hardened to it. And it seems like they just can't get it. But there's others in the desert who hear and see that it's salvation for their kind of life. And they turn and believe and trust. Some of the finest members that I have ever had has come from denominations that are destitute of the real old-time gospel and have heard and been touched and by God Almighty and have turned and believed and been born again on an old-time altar. Thank God. Here comes a man in a chariot who's been to Jerusalem for to worship. Didn't say did worship, but he had been to worship. There's a whole lot of folks that go to church, they think to worship, but there's nothing in the church that resembles worship to God Almighty. I am sick of the desert land that's in America and in churches, a whole lot of them are used to be, where there is no longer any real Holy Ghost gospel and the operation of the Holy Spirit in the church, and it's a shame on you and me. We're definitely operating in a desert. We're operating now in the emergency room. There's very few now that really want to preach for the preaching's sake to see sinners born again. I see a lot of folks in the show business, in the business of promoting self. And the deep hunger for seeing sinners get right with God is about gone out the window. The days when men and women wept in the altars and prayed for the power of the Holy Spirit to deal with the hearts of sinners, it looks like it's about gone. Will we let it happen? Will we in this desert not know that there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins that'll still change sinners? He's riding in a chariot and reading the scriptures. It looks like, you know, he's on the right road. He could just kind of read and figure it out and get saved. But that ain't the way it goes. But there's a man up yonder that's been in revival. And God speaks to him in the middle of that revival and said, leave this. Go down yonder in the desert. There's never any promises, never any instructions. Just go into the desert. And he arose and went. Thank God. I've never told young preachers you need to run from the preaching of the Word of God. About every one of us did. I did. I joined the army and seen how mean I could get. It couldn't get mean. God's hand is on me. I couldn't get drunk and I couldn't cuss. I thought if I'd get mean enough, he'd leave me alone. reasons why God ought to call somebody else, but it's on me. And I realize I don't have to get down in the desert somewhere and find a chariot. It's here. Send my own family. Send my own church. Coldness and deadness and dryness. God help us. He arose and went. God never, he had no promise of a salary or a church. He just went. Oh, how we need more men and women that will just serve God for the blessedness of the thing of going to the house of God, being God's Christian for this day. Well, we live in a different day. Things have changed, you know. Our church is all prettied up and air conditioning, heating, and on. And just about all the preachers got streamlined and went to school to learn how and got debriefed and de-godded. And their belief in the scriptures about wiped out. God help. Where's the old man of God that'll still walk down into the desert and care not for the sayings of men, but preach the gospel of the living God to a bunch of people going to hell? I know tonight that if I don't preach, somebody's going to go to hell. I realize that I don't know how many. I've always said I'm going to quit evangelizing or pastoring when I'm 93. I don't think I'll be able to do both, but I'm going to try it. Because there's a calling on me. And I want to get everything I can out of it. Maybe somewhere in this congregation, there's a little boy, a little girl dying in the desert and no God. And maybe if I'll preach this right, the Holy Ghost will touch them and give them a drink. They can survive and live. Woo! I'm glad I'm saved tonight. I've never been more saved than I am tonight and never been more happy than God saved me, brought me out of darkness into light and set my feet in the ways of God. Thank you, Lord. I thought over yonder in my room, I don't ever eat afternoon meals. Try to hide with God. And God laid a scripture on my heart, and I thought, what in the world am I going to do with this? And he said, I'll help you. When the doctor got up here and started on, my mind came to this scripture. Thank you, doctor. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show yourself unto Ahab, and I'll send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there's a sore famine in Samaria. I realize I'm operating in a desert. I'm not going to brag tonight on how things are in America and churchdom, but it doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference what the situation is. The calling's still on me. I want to spend less time talking about how bad things are, and more time talking about how good it can be if you get with Jesus Christ and let Him come into your heart and into your life. God, help us tonight. Every individual in this building has a job to do for God Almighty. Did you not know? I've preached on this many times and maybe here. There's a little window of opportunity here. Here comes the Ethiopian eunuch. Here comes Philip. Philip would have been 15 minutes late. he'd have more than likely missed it. Tonight, there's a window of opportunity in your life as a Christian. I don't know how long you have to get your children in. I don't know how long you have to tell them about God, to get them to the house of God. I do know when that certain age for that child, they begin to get rebellious and want to get out from under your hand, and you awake one morning and that child has been so loving and obedient, you don't know who he is, and what he wants to do is to get out from under you and your coattails and apron strings and find his own life, and if you're not careful, slip out of the house of God and go down yonder and marry somebody you don't approve of, and before you know it, they're raising children and not taking them to church. Are you hearing this old wore out preacher tonight? I'll tell you, while the opportunity and the wind is open, we better do the best we can while we can. Amen. Whip your children, take them to the house of God. Amen. Have them to be quiet and listen to the old man of God. Amen. I want to help you tonight if I can. Just a little while. Just miss the window of opportunity. And it may be too late. And while I can, if you don't tell your children, I want to tell them, young'uns, there's a better life than what you've seen on the channels. There's more to it than sitting off by yourself working on these little electronic instruments. I'm glad I don't even know what some of them things' names are. Somebody gave me a laptop, and I can turn that thing on and off just as good as you ever seen it, and that's about all I can do, and I'm satisfied with it. I'm going to tell you tonight, I got a book up here that's got my attention. And it's got my attention more and more as the years roll by. Sit up at night, and I've read it through every year for years and years and years, and I'm still saying, what about that? When I'm reading the scriptures. Oh, but I'll tell you something that's never changed. There's a hell called Golgotha. Lowly Nazarene came through Bethlehem, Judah, and died for me, and called me to preach the gospel, and I'm doing my best, and I want to do it better before I kick out of here. I wonder about your window of opportunity. I wonder if your young'uns ever heard you really pray. I wonder if they've ever heard Mom and Daddy agonize with God and say, Lord, save my children. Them young'uns of yours tonight, when they come to your house, Grandma and Grandpa, to eat, I'd never let them eat a bite till I prayed over it, just real loud and long. And I'd cry in the beans and taters and say, God, save me, is the best thing ever happened to me. Oh, hear me tonight. Sure, we're in a desert. We've got no promise. You hear this, old preacher? I know I'm out of style. We've got no promise of getting out of here before trouble started. It's already started. I see nothing in these scriptures that tells me we won't suffer. And this world has no more use for Christ, less use now than it did while he is here. And I'm going to tell you, there's no room for Jesus in this inn. And we're down now in the barn working, and we can work as good or better there than we can in the finest churches in the land. It'd be, do a whole lot of us a lot of good if we'd quit trying to be so fancy and comfortable. and operate, realizing that we're right down in the dirt in the last hours of time, and preach the gospel like wild men and tell this world that there's a hell. I've been crying over your children, son. They sure don't look like they got much change. This world's, the magic of the devil has caught a hold of them. The mamas and daddies, our preachers now are cussing in the pulpit and seeing how close to vulgarity they can get and still be accepted. And full of jokes and wild tales and no power of God to convict sinners. I'm sick of the desert. But they came together. Praise God. This deacon that's a preacher. And an Ethiopian. I guess a black man. It wouldn't make any difference. Did you hear me say it wouldn't make any difference? We've got so pretty in our own eyes. We just want the right crowd in church on Sunday morning. I told them a day had gone by, I hope the whole one side half is filled with homosexuals and lesbians. And the drunkards, thank God, that'll come wanting to hear the word of God. Don't snarl up your nose at me. I know why Jesus died, to save old sinners. Woo! I'm glad I got a God that's interested in sinners.
Yes, sir.
He'll save them on the street corners and in the altars. I'd like for you children to get saved. Know what I know. There's never been a thing like salvation ever happened to a human being. I tested it and tried it. I was just kind of a smart aleck. I was a bashful boy. But I said, I don't think he's much to this. They told me about Santa Claus and the Tooth Fairy and all that, and I found out they was lying to me. And I said, this Jesus thing is really too much for anybody to believe that he'll bring peace and joy and unspeakable throughout eternity. But there's one thing that really bothered me is my daddy and mama. A crying. My daddy worked in the sawmill when he could. And that is our best living. And just an old hillside farmer. But boy, my, when daddy'd pray and say, Lord, help my children. And I knew that's all holding us together as mom and daddy's praying. I'll tell you, mom and daddy, your children's watching you. I'll tell you what, if I was in charge of everything, you can call me what you want to, I'd get rid of every television in the world. I would. Oh, God help us tonight. And started Bible schools and all that. And I think every school ought to have an old-time preacher at least twice, three times a week to come in and assemble the kids and preach to them hell, fire, and brimstone. Would y'all vote for that? What we have voted for is a shame and a disgrace unto God. And you can crook your finger at me if you want to or not, but the truth is the bold truth. Amen, Brother Milby. Here's this Ethiopian eunuch reading out of Isaiah. And it just happened, just one of them happening things that he's reading about Jesus. Him reading about Jesus, and here comes this old preacher walking. I guess he is walking, I don't know, down through the desert. He heard him reading. And the Holy Spirit said, join yourself to the chariot. What a blessed time when, as a boy, sitting in the third seat back here, and old Preacher Jones preaching, and God joined himself to my chariot. I'd been sitting there all the time, but he never had joined himself. I want to tell you, you can't just operate on sinners because they've never been saved. If God don't join you to the chariot, you might as well be playing mumbly peg. Hey! God's in the saving business, and he's the only one that is. Philip, I guess he's walking along beside that chariot and said, "Understandest thou what thou readest? And you know that old black man's smart. He'd been down there trying to worship, and I don't know where he got the Bible. He's working for the queen. I guess he had enough money. The old parchment, I guess, rolled together, and he'd unrolled it till he got over there where they're talking about Jesus. And he said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" I like that kind of business, where the sinner will just admit his ignorance. Sinner can't understand the Word of God. If it's spiritually written, it's got to be spiritually discerned. I hope you all believe that is right anyhow. Hey, Peter, this old preacher got up in the chariot with him. I remember the day when God got up in the chariot with me, and I had no more comfort till I got right. And began at the same scripture and preached to him Jesus. Preach to him Jesus. This really is a simple plan, you know. You don't have to parse all the verbs and be sure you get the Hebrew and the Chaldee and the Greek all straightened out. There's enough here in English that's too much for me and you. It's just a plain old simple thing. You're a dirty, low-down sinner that if you make it to heaven, you're going to have to get born again. And the route to get born again is to get under conviction and repent and trust in Jesus Christ until you know you're saved. Amen. Amen. I wasn't going to take nothing but the real thing. I said, I don't know what mama's got and what daddy's got. Now, this took me a long time. Me and God worked it out. I finally just give up and let him do things, and I've seen I couldn't do anything about it. And I just said, I'm turning it all over to you that morning down underneath that old persimmon tree ahead of that gully. And all at once it came to me, there's something different about me. You say, what's the matter with you, preacher? Nothing at all. I got born again. Just more real the second time than the first time. Things happened to me before I got back to the house. I realized I was thinking different about everything. You say, instantaneous, you better believe it. I like to think I've grown in grace and knowledge, but I got saved that morning. I didn't just join the church and get baptized. I got made new from the inside out. Never been anything like being born again. Never been anything. And he preached to him, Jesus. Will you preachers remember that? He didn't give him no deals, no Roman robes. He just preached to him, Jesus. Just preached to him, Jesus. Just preach to him, Jesus. That's enough. Mom and Daddy, will your children grow up and never see you get excited about God? Will your grandchildren ever hear you pray and agonize over their soul? I'll tell you again and again and again. just get saved yourself and walk a holy walk. Let them know you love the Lord Jesus Christ above everything else in the world. Will have an effect on them like nothing else.
Amen.
In a few moments, if God will help me, I'm going to give an invitation to you who want to be sure while you've got that window of opportunity to do everything you can to win your children, grandchildren, or anybody else to Jesus Christ. There's mamas and daddies in here tonight that unless something from heaven happens, some of your children, grandchildren going to hell. You can call them good young'uns if you want to, but that ain't going to get them in. It's going to take whole time conviction brought on by the Word of God. And when they go to the altar, Mama, don't stand over them and try to convince them they've prayed long enough or they're good and they don't need to be crying and wailing. Tell them to weep it out before God and pray till they know. If I had my young'uns here tonight, I'd let them know there's water for them. I thought this afternoon I'd get home, I'd sprinkle some in my prayer place. You say, you're an old fool. I'm doing this exactly what the Holy Ghost told me to do today. There's water for you.
Yeah.
Water for your young.
Praise the Lord.
You're down in the desert.
Yeah.
You care, son, if I throw a little on you. There's them girls right there. Preached to and cried over.
Amen.
Jesus saves. Jesus saves. We don't have to live in a desert. There's hope. I know it's a dry country, but Jesus brings water. I'll put a little water on you. Brother Jimmy, I'm going to sprinkle water on you a little bit. I'm having the best time. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. I thought some of you might want to sprinkle some on your young'uns. You say you're trying to start something? Well, not really, but whatever the Holy Ghost wants. Boy, there's some of you need to pray for your young folk. It's a desperate time. All the hell's raging. I'm about ready to call this electronic business a beast. It's not the beast. The whole world's wondering after it. If you're not on that, you're just not with it. But there's a secret path that the foxes don't know anything about. This world don't understand. I've been on it now since 1951. There's some things that are going on that path that's so far above electronics, it's not even in the game. I'm just having a good time. This is a desert. This Word of God up here is pure water, pure stuff. I mean, it'll do good where nothing else will do good. Amen.
Brother Jimmy, I love you, son. Brother Cooper, you've been a help to me. Would it offend you if I put a little help in them boys? I've been a praying for you, boys.
Take anything in this world for the knowledge in me that there's a land that's fairer than day. By faith I can see it afar. You think this doctor here tonight, a little old baby laying down dying few short hours and realizing that he's got something in a vial or in a pill that'll stop it and let him live. You better believe if the oath he took said so, and the oath I took said so, that them little young'uns said, "Hear what I know, and I'll take the medicine. It'll be heaven after a while."
I reckon I'm about done. I'll just leave this here. I want to give you an invitation. You know, tomorrow may be too late for your window of opportunity. You want to do something about the drought tonight? You can, you know, if you forget a lot of this old world stuff and get to the real business. There's more important business going on here tonight than there is in Congress. They're not going to do anything anyway. They'll fuss and fight with one another, and we'll be in worse shape when they took up and then when they address. Amen. I'm glad I know that. I've got young people in my choir that knows more about right and wrong than all them people do up there. I think that's right. Would you stand with me, please? Sister, if you'd come and play the piano. Just as I am, it'd be wonderful. You may need to come. While you're up here, you might need to sprinkle a little bit around on some desert places. You might need to sprinkle yourself if you're dry. You say, "Preacher, I never heard this before." It may be why God wants it done. Thank you, Mom and Dad. Thank you, young mama. Would you be honest? Thank you for being honest. Blessed be the name.